Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalmi Erev in Daf Lamed Hey, and we are starting Lamed Dalet Amud Beis about two lines off from the bottom with the words Rav Omar and the Vilzer stuff. It's right at the beginning of Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Morris Miriam Sarabas Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. Now we're in the middle of discussing how to measure a city and what the boundary or the city limits are considered, so that we can start measuring the tchum of 2,000 amos from there. So now Rav tells us Yerushi Benuy Oilim, a city which is all tents. It's a tent city. It's a refugee camp. That's not considered a city. Call Echav Echad Moed Me'Oloi. Every single person measures from his own tent, 2,000 amos, and that's it. However, Lamed Hayom Alf on top, Hayusham Shlosha Tzrifim Shlosha Burganin, if there are three huts and three booths meant for Shaimrim, for guardsmen, Maidim Achitzoin, then we measure from the outermost one because that's considered a city. However, Hasav Asi asked the following question. Vaksiv, the Pasuk tells us, V'yad Tielucha Michotz HaMachna, that you should have a shovel outside of your camp, and this is if a person has to defecate, he walks outside Machane Yisrael, outside the camp of the Yidin in the Midbar, and he does so over there, covering everything over with a shovel, and that's a proper way to go about things. The question is, Hey Chayun Nifin, how would they relieve themselves outside? We know the whole encampment of the Yidden in the Midbar was way more than 2,000 amos, so a guy who lived closer to the center would have to walk more than 2,000 amos from his tent in order to get outside of camp. And we just said that we have a whole bunch of tents together, that we measure 2,000 amos from each and every tent, so the people who live closer to the center aren't able to go to the bathroom on Shabbos. And so earlier, Chibrei Rav Shosai Makshi, he asks, Hey, how would they go to Moshe's base medrash and ask him questions? His base medrash was outside camp, and they would have no way to go there on Shabbos, because they're going outside their 2,000 amos. And the answer is, Moshe Aslan Shlesha Tzrifin Shlesha Burganin, Moshe made these three Tzrifin and Burganin for them, and therefore the entire encampment of the Yidden in the Midbar was actually considered one full camp, and they measured 2,000 amos from the very edge of it. And here we have a different suggestion. Omar B'Yasser says, B'kivon Shayu Chanim V'Noisen Al Pi Adibur, since they would encamp and travel based off of when Hashem says, K'mi Shayu Chanim La'olam, that's proper Girsa, it's like they were encamped forever. Meaning, since they were totally reliant on when Hashem says, go or stop and set up camp, so when they did set up camp, it's considered like there forever. And even though the whole camp was just tents, it's not a problem. It's considered like one encampment. However, Amar Yis Rabun, he says, how could that be? Mikimin Shiftichan Kosh Baruch Hu Shumachnis Al Eretz Kimishu La'ilam. Since Hashem promised them that He's going to be bringing them into Eretz Yisrael, are you able to say that their encampment in the Midbar was considered like a forever encampment? How could that be? They're obviously going to be getting up and going to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Allah Amar Avin on this Rav Avin said that Moshe Aslan Shleshet Tzifin Shleshet Burganin. Moshe made these three Tzifin and Burganin for them, making the entire setup of the Bnei Yisrael in Midbar considered like one big city, and they measure 2,000 amos from outside of it. Now we continue discussing the city. Remember, even when we have a circular city, we had said that we square everything off. We put a square around the circle of the city, and then we measure 2,000 amos from there. And so now the Gemara tells us, Merava ribua oilam, kidei shehe merava l'merava shel oilam, udroima l'droima shel oilam. He has to make the square like the square of the world, basically the corners of the compass, so that the west should be towards the west, and the south should be towards the south. Take a look at the handy picture we have over here. In one situation, we have our circular city with a square drawn around it, and the other one is kind of tilted, if you will, looks like a diamond, and there you have the points of the square pointing towards northeast southwest. That is not the proper way to do it. It has to be where the flat part of the square is facing north, the other flat part south, and east and west as well. And Rav Yisrael says, if he doesn't know how to do that, let's say they have a city, it's a brand new thing they just built out because housing was too expensive in town, so they went out of town some random place, built a whole bunch of houses, made themselves a little city, and now they need to start measuring the tchum, and they don't know where the directions are. What are they supposed to do? Say, go learn out from the tkufa, which means the solstice. We know the summer solstice is when the sunlight is the longest. The winter solstice is when the sunlight is the shortest. And during the summer, the sun is going to rise from the highest point of the horizon throughout the year. And during the winter, it's going to rise from the lowest point of the horizon throughout the year. And therefore, says Rabbi Yisa, from where the sun rises by tkufas tamuz, meaning the summer solstice, from where it starts coming out of the sky in the morning, ad makam shizarachas ba'echad b'tkufas teves, you draw a line from there all the way up until the point in the southern part of the sky from where it's going to start rising during the winter solstice, elupnei mizrach, that is the whole eastern side, because obviously, as we know, the sun rises in the east, and as we said, that's the highest point of the eastern horizon and the lowest point of the eastern horizon it's going to rise, so you draw a line between those two things, and that is east. And mimakam shecham shaykas b'echad b'tkufas teves, ad makam shishaykas b'echad b'tkufas tamuz, from the point where the sun sets during the winter solstice and where it sets during the summer solstice, elupnei hamayriv, that is the western face of the sky, when you draw a line between those two points, so that's west. And Vashar Tof V'Darim, when you connect the dots on top and the dots on bottom, so now you're going to have north and south as well. And Adon D'Chsev is actually what's said in the Pasuk, Ha'ilichal Darim V'Soyev El Tzafayin, going to south and circling back to north. What does this mean? Ha'ilichal Darim Bayayim, it's going south during the day, meaning the winter solstice, it rises and sets in the southernmost part of the sky, and V'Soyev El Tzafayin by Laila, it circles back to north at night, which means, so to speak, is circling circling behind the earth at night and comes again around to its starting point. Soivev soivev hoylech ruach v'svivoysav shav ruach, says the pasuk, elu pnei ha-mizrach v'amayrev, is referring to east and west. But now the Gemara asks, nicha b'shiloi v'beisai lamim. This is all good when we're talking about the Mishkan and Shiloi, which was set, it wasn't moved, it was a permanent structure, and beisai lamim is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, that obviously was permanent as well. So this is a great way to determine where north, east, south, and west are. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. Demar of Acha b'shem Shmuel bar Yitzchak, he says, kama yagu nevim arishonim lasis shar mizrachi. The early nevim, they worked so hard that the shar mizrachi, the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash, which is referring to Shar Nikanor, this is the gate that one would walk into to get into the Ezer Yisrael. This is after walking up the 15 Shir HaMalos in the Beis HaMikdash, the 15 steps that he would walk through the Shar Nikanor. They worked really hard, Laman Hamo Beis on top, that the sun, when it started rising, both in Tkuvas Teves and Tkuvas Tammuz, the winter solstice and summer solstice, it would be Mitzamtzemes. It would, so to speak, peek through and hit this doorway because it was perfectly positioned exactly in the right spot facing east, so that when the sun would rise, in both of these extreme times, it would still hit the door. And therefore, we would need to know where east is in order for the door to be able to be positioned that way. And now, once we're on the topic of the Shar Mizrachi, we continue discussing this. Shivashem is Nikruloi. It actually had seven different names. Shar Sur, Shar Hayasoid, Shar Charises, Shar Isoin, Shar Hatovech, Shar Chadosh, and Shar Ha'elyoin. What's understanding of all these names? So Shar Sur, which literally means the gate of turning away, Shasham Hayutmein Parshim, that's where Tommy people would have to turn around because they weren't able to go through this. That's what the pasuk says, Suru Tame Kru Lamai, turn away Tame one, they would call. That's why it's called Shar Sur. Shar Hayasoid, what's the understanding of this? Shasham Hayumi Yasnis Halacha, that's where they would set the Halacha. The Lishkas HaGazus, which is where the Sanhedrin sat, was a little bit off to the right. Right when you walked through the Shar Mizrachi, you turned towards the right, and that's where Lishkas HaGazus was, and that's where they set the Halacha. Shar Charises, which literally means the Shar of the Sun, which is what we were talking about previously. Shumachavin Keneged Zrichas HaChama, it's corresponding to the shining of the sun. Heichmadat Amr, like it says in the Pasuk, Ha'omer Lecheres V'lo Yizrach, the one who says to the sun, and it doesn't shine. Shar HaEson, why is it called this? Shumashamish Knesa V'Yitzia, it's used as an entrance and an exit. Shar HaTavech, it's the middle Shar. What does this mean? Shuhu Miyosid Bein Shnei Sha'arim, it's in between two gates. There's the first Shar of the Beis HaMikdash, which leads into the Ezos Nashim. Then there's this one, the Shar Mizrach. Then there's another Shar, which leads into the Kodesh itself. That's by the Heichal. So this is the middle one. That's what Tavech means. Shar Chadash, what does this mean? Shasham Chidshu Seifrim is Halacha. This is where Seifrim Chachamim renewed the Halacha. This is referring to a specific case brought in Devar Yamim that says, Vayamad Yoishafat Yoishafat Sod in the Chatzar HaChadasha. And the Gemara explains, what does that mean, Chatzar HaChadasha? Shechidshu Badvarim, that there were Mechadish things there, and they said that Tvul Yoim is now to come to the Machna Leviya. So that's what it's called, Shar Chadash and Shar Ha'el Yoin. Why is it called this? Shulamala Me'achel Ve'ez Nashim. We take out the word Ez Yisrael. It's higher than the Chel and the Ez Nashim, which means not only physically was it higher than them, because remember the Beis HaMikdash is built on a slope, so it's physically a little bit higher, but also in Kedusha, this area is more Kaddish than the Ez Nashim, which is before it, and the Chel, which is outside the Beis HaMikdash walls. And Umal Yisera, Hoysa Beis HaLamim, in the Beis HaMikdash, it had another Mila, meaning it had even more Chomer Kedusha. But now going back to our original discussion of how we're able to figure out north, east, south, and west, and the whole reason why we brought this was to say that when we have a permanent structure like the Mishkan and Shiloh or the Beis HaMikdash, so it's great. You want to be able to figure out perfectly where exactly northeast, south, and west is. But over Midbar, when they were traveling the Midbar, Mihay Machav Lemes Aruchais, how are they able to set exactly where northeast, south, and west was to be able to determine the tchum of the camp? They were always traveling here and there, walking up and down all around in circles, and they're getting up and traveling all the time, so they weren't able to determine exactly where the sun rises here and sets here, or rises there and sets there. Rav Achi answers, Aroin Hay Machav Lemes Aruchais, the Aroin would actually show where the right direction was. Now, Daud Echsev, that's understanding the Pasuk, Vinasa Kahasim Noisei HaMikdash, the Kahasim were the carriers of the Mikdash, they traveled or they carried everything they were. Now, Zah Aron, this referred to the Aron that they carried. And then the Pasuk says, Vikimu B'nei Merari HaMishkan, the sons of Merari, another one of the Levite families, they set up the Mishkan, Ad Bayim B'nei Kahas, until B'nei Kahas came, Shalem Haya Aron Nason, they were carrying the Aron. In other words, the Pasuk is unclear. On one hand, it says that the Kahasim were carrying the Mikdash, Mashma, that they were actually carrying the Mikdash, meaning they were carrying the Mishkan, and they set it up. Then the Pasuk says, that B'nei Merari set up the Mishkan, and we know that B'nei Merari actually did set up the Mishkan. So what's the Pasuk mentioning Kahas for? And the answer is that when it says they were carrying the Mikdash, they weren't carrying the Mikdash. We're not even talking about the Mesa Mikdash, we're talking about the Mishkan. Therefore, must be Noisei HaMikdash is referring to the Kaddish thing of the Mishkan, namely the Aron, the Hainu. They're carrying the Aron, and the Aron is what determined what the proper direction is. Now we continue discussing the camp of the Yidden in the Midbar. Midbar. When they were walking in the Midbar, how would they go? What did it look like? If we're able to take a bird's eye picture of it, how did it look? So Rav Chama Bar Chanina of Rabbi Shaya, they argue, Chanam, one of them says, Kiteva, they traveled like a box. V'charen Amr, the other one says Kekar, they travel like a beam. Man Amr Kateva, the one who says they travel like a box. Why is this? Because the pasuk says Kasher Yachnu Ken Yiso. The same way they encamped, that's where they traveled. And we know they encamped like a box with a Mishkan that's Machne Shechina in the middle, and then we had the Shvatim surrounding them on all four sides. And since it says just like they encamped, that's how they traveled, so they also traveled in this box formation. Whereas Man Amr Kekara, the one who says like a beam, where does this come from? That's because the pasuk says in regards to Shevet Dan Ma'asif Chal Machnas Latzivaisam, that they were the gatherer of all camps, namely they were in the back of everyone and they picked up all the lost objects that were dropped along the way, and the only way they could be in the back is if they traveled in a line, because if they're traveling in box formation like they were in camp, Dan was actually placed to the north of the Mishkan and they weren't located in the back. If anything, Ephraim was located in the back, because the way it worked, again, if they were traveling in box formation, is that the Mishkan was in the middle, Yehuda was in the front, Reuben was on the right, Dan was on the left, and Ephraim was in the back. And since the pasuk says that Dan is ma'asif l'chal machnois, it has to be they were traveling in a line. So first Yehuda went, then Reuven went behind Yehuda, the Mishkan was behind Reuven, Ephraim behind that, and Dan all the way in the back, as that's the source that they traveled like a beam, which is basically a line. So we explain each man to Amar according to the pasuk quoted by the other one. Man to Marka Kairo, according to this man to Amar of Kairo, they travel like a line. Umamakam Kateva Kasher Yachnu Ken Yiso has explained the first man to Amar in his pasuk of a Kasher Yachnu Ken Yiso, that they traveled like they encamped. And the answer is, it's not talking about their travel formation. It means Mabachan Yosan al Pia Dibur, Abinisiyasan al Pia Dibur, the same way that when they encamped, it was based off of the command of Hashem, so to when they traveled, it was based off the command of Hashem, but it's not talking about their formation. Another question, Manda Mar Kateva, what about the first Manda Amar, that they traveled like a box? Mama Kaim Kakar Ma'asif Chal Machnas Tzivaisom, has he explained the second Manda Amar, which quoted this pasuk, that Don was Ma'asif Chal Machnas, and it seems to be the only way that makes sense is if they travel like a line? And the answer is, Lefisha Yeshifte Shal Don Meruba Ba'uchlasin, since Shevet Don had a very big population, because even though they're traveling in box formation with Don located on the left, they had so many people, they ended up spilling out towards the back, so it did turn out that Don was located in the back as well, not just on the left, but also in the back. And therefore, we still couldn't make the pasuk. Anybody who lost something, Shevet Don would return it to him. That's why the pasuk says, Ma'asif v'chol machanus l'tzivaisam. Now, we continue discussing measuring the tchum of a city. Tani b'shem Rebuda is taught in name Rebuda. Avzi zeu v'kosleu hayinim dadim ima. That even the protrusions and the walls are measured with it. This is referring to when we have this house, which is extending from the city, which we had already said before. We're going to draw the boundary of the city from the furthest house. It's not just from the house itself, says this member b'shem Rebbi Yehuda. It's also if we have a beam sticking out of the house, or one of the walls is slanted and pushed out a little bit more than the other wall, we're going to start drawing the line from that furthest thing, that furthest protrusion, and not from the actual house itself. Now, Lamed Vav Amalaf on top, by Rabbi Shai, Rabbi Shai asks as follows, Avir Chatzar, Ma'u Shiamad Ima. What about the airspace of a Chatzar? Is that counted as part of a city? Let's say we have our house, and then outside of the house, we have a Chatzar, a courtyard. Are we going to draw the line of the city from the Chatzar or from the house? And we suggest, Nishmin Real Adults, learn from the following, if we have a house that it was Nifrat, so it was Parots, it got broken open from one direction, Nimdan Ima, that's judged with the city. Whereas Mishtei Ruchais, if it got broken open from two directions, Ein Nimdan Ima, it's not measured with the city. And Rav Oven says, B'shem Rav Yehuda, what's this referring to? B'shenitla Karasoi. This is when the roof was taken off of the house. Avom Lo Nitla Karasoi, Nimdan Ima. If the roof wasn't taken off, so then it's for sure going to be judged as part of the city. Now here's a raya, Im B'shenitla Karasoi, Loika Avir Chatzar Hu. If the roof was removed from the house, isn't that considered like the airspace of a Chatzar? Because a Chatzar doesn't have a roof, and neither does this house that we're talking about that's missing a roof. And therefore we see that even if something doesn't have a roof, as long as it's only breached from one side, it could still be considered as part of the city. However, the Gemara says, not a raya. Taman over there, Hukav Lebeis Dira. The walls of the house were originally built to live inside, and it had a roof placed on it, so that's just a regular Beis Dira. And therefore, even if the roof was removed, as long as it's breached only from one side, we could still consider it as part of the city. Bram Hacha, but over here, Lo Hukav Ledira, the Chatzar that was surrounded with walls, it wasn't done so for purpose of living. Therefore, we cannot compare the case of Chatzar to the house. Now, we have one last din regarding measuring the tchum of a city, Kshumayded, when he measures, which really means when he's drawing the line after measuring the 2,000 amot tchum, and he draws the line to complete the full 2,000 amot tchum around the city, he doesn't measure from the middle, because he's going to lose out element akronis, rather from the corners. What does this mean? So if you see over here, we have two handy pictures. If after we square for the city, we start measuring 2,000 amos of tchum from the corners of that square, and that's where our 2,000 amos is, then when we draw a line from the end of the 2,000 amos, let's say like we have in our picture over here, from the northeast and northwest corners, we have our two lines, and then we draw a line between them to mark off the tchum, it turns out that if you're not going to walk diagonally out of the city, out of the corner, and you're going to go straight, then it turns out that you actually don't have 2,000 amos, you only have 1,428, because the 2,000 amos drawn diagonally significantly narrows going out of the city from the flat part, if you will. And that's why the Gemara Gemara is telling us that you measure 2,000 amas going straight out of the city, not diagonally, and then you draw a line all the way across, and then it turns out, as we have mentioned before as well, that you end up gaining the corners, because when you connect all those lines of 2,000 amas, turns out you have an extra 800 amas to go when you're traveling diagonally out of the city, like we see in the second picture. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Beis. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.